afternoon, my beloved. Welcome to Elizabeth's World here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. You guys know how we do on the Saturdays. On the Saturdays, we do nice things. First of all, we unwind. First of all, we relax. Kucha, was this not a week that we almost died? I feel like every week we almost die. Like every week is a near-death experience. I'm just glad to be here. Yeah. But before that, ladies and gentlemen, there's this lady. I don't know if it is AI. Or it is a person. Mara is giving fire vibes.
It wasn't the kind of heartbreak you scream about. No fights, no doors slammed. Just silence. And somehow that hurt louder than anything he ever said.
We stopped talking in full sentences. Just half smiles and I'm fine. He'd hold me like a stranger. Like love had slipped through time. Coffee turned cold between us. His phone lit up more than his eyes. And I learned heartbreak doesn't always shout. Sometimes it just says goodbye. I kept checking my phone for ghosts. Reading old texts like prayer notes. Every word a quiet echo of what we used to be. He broke me gently. No stolen goodbye. Just drifted away till I forgot how to try. He broke me softly. Like fading sunlight and I was left in the dark. Learning how to cry, he broke me gently. And somehow that was worse than a lie. The scent of him still lives in my sweater. Though I washed it 100 times. I replayed his laughter in my head. Just move on, but they don't know what it's like to lose someone who didn't leave. He just stopped staying. I wrote him a letter.
I'll never send.
He folded it like
the pieces of the end.
I loved it and died.
He just left.
Silence became my lullaby. Now I whisper to the woman I'm becoming. You're still worthy of love that stays. I forgive him, not for him, but for me. Cause sometimes healing sounds like walking away.
He broke me gently,
but I survived.
Picked up my pieces
and came back to life.
He broke me softly,
but I found my life.
I used to think love meant giving everything. Even the pieces I needed to survive. I kept telling myself that if I held on long enough, he would finally see me finally choose me, finally love me back. But somewhere between the waiting and the wishing, I disappeared. I became a woman who apologized for her own heart. A woman afraid to ask for the things she deserved. And the saddest part, I didn't even notice I was breaking. Until I had nothing left to give.
I was breaking slowly. Breaking quietly, breaking before the intro even began. I lost myself loving you. And you never even knew. I dimmed my light to fit your shadow. But your heart stayed empty too.
This is the part of me you never cared to see. But it's where my story starts.
As a woman, you learn that love don't always mean peace. Sometimes you gotta lose everything to find yourself again. This one's for every heart that had to let go, even when it still remembers.
I see her stand where I used to be. That same front porch, those memories. She's got your hand, you look so free. But I know the story underneath. You painted over our history. Changed the locks, but not the energy. I hear our echoes in your smile. Pretending everything's fine. I bet she thinks she found forever. But forever. You can't erase the storms we weather. You just change who's behind the wheel.
She took my place, but not my pain. She's got the sunshine after rain. She's wearing joy I had to fade. Living the dream I helped you make. But deep truth remains.
She took my place. I used to pray you find some peace. Now I see you wearing my beliefs. The words you whispered all the same. Different.
Yeah.
but not my pain. Not my pain. She'll never know what I survive. I'm still standing. I'm still alive.
You ever miss the way love used to feel? When forever didn't sound like a lie. When we still meant it.
We talked until the morning, hearts wide open still. Not through screens or filters, just the way it felt for real. You'd write me letters, fold them slow with care. Your words had warmth, I could feel you there. Back then love was simple, it didn't need a show. Just your hand and mine, that's all I had to know. Now I scroll through memories that used to make me smile. Trying to find that old forever, if only for a while. Now we hide behind the silence, afraid to feel too much. We lost the art of meaning in a world that's out of touch. Take me back to the feeling before we learned to fake the pain. When hearts would break but still believe again. I miss the truth we used to feel, the way we loved when love was real. Now love feels like a language we forgot how to speak. We touch but don't connect. We're strong but feel so weak. They say I love you like a trend, then goes before the end. It's not that I'm alone tonight, it's that I can't pretend. There was fire in the quiet, a softness in the fight. Now we chase the validation and call it love online. For safety, but losing what was real. I miss the days when hurting was just part of how it heals.
Take me back to the feeling
before we learned to fake the pain. When
hearts would break,
I still believe again. I miss the truth we used to feel, the way we loved when love was real. Never feel it again. I'll always remember back when. Back when love was real.
You ever love somebody so much? You start confusing pain with passion. Start calling heartbreak chemistry. Yeah, I did that too.
Love shouldn't hurt like this. You say you love, but your love cuts deep. Every baby, I'm sorry,
just puts my soul to sleep. You call it passion, I call it pain. We make up just to fall again. I used to think that hurting meant we cared, but real love don't leave you scared. You make me doubt the good in me and call it love while you're breaking me. You say I'm the one you need, but your touch don't set me free. I'm tired of bleeding for something that's supposed to heal.
Love shouldn't hurt like this.
Should it? This is what love is, then maybe love ain't true.
Love shouldn't hurt like this.
No, love shouldn't hurt like this. You say the right words when you see me fade, then break the same heart your promise made. I've been holding on to the ghost of us, but I'm starting to see the same love is lust. I gave you chances, gave you grace. Now all I see is a stranger's face. You taught me pain wears perfume sweet, but I can't live with heartbreak sleeves. You say forever like it means control, but I'm done.
I thought love was patient, I thought it was kind. But yours just took and left me blind. I used to blame myself for every scar, till I learned some people don't know what hearts are.
So I'm walking away before I forget how love is supposed to feel again.
They said you care too much. You forgive too easily. You cry over things you should have forgotten. But I've learned my softness isn't my weakness. It's my superpower. Because even when they break me, I still choose love.
I've been the shoulder for their pain, held the ones who walked away, smiled through storms I didn't cause, loved them deeper through
through the flaws. They said, girl, you gotta be strong. Stop feeling everything that's wrong. But strength ain't stone, it's what survives. When your heart still beats after goodbye. They call it fragile, what they can't define. But I see power in these tears of mine. I bend, I break, I heal, I shine. And that's how I survive. For the soft doesn't mean weak. My love runs deep, not cheap. I can cry, I can forgive, and still stand tall on my feet. Don't mistake my peace for silence, my calm for defeat. I'm proof that gentle hearts can still move mountains in their sleep. Cause so doesn't mean weak. Ooh, they think the loudest voice is right, but I fight quiet with my light. My kindness cuts through walls of pain and brings the sun back after rain.
Cause I smile through storms, keep my head high when everything's falling apart. But they don't see the nights I sit in the dark, whispering to myself, you can't break now. They clap for my strength, but no one asks if I'm tired of holding it all together. Sometimes strength isn't standing tall, it's falling apart quietly, and still getting up the next morning. Cause even strong women cry too, when no one's watching, when the lights fade through.
and that's how we heal. Tears don't mean weakness, they're proof we still feel. Strong women cry too, not 'cause we're broken, but 'cause we're true. Every tear's a battle we've won. Every drop says I'm still holding. Fall, but who's there when I can't stand tall? They call it grace, they call it pride, but they don't see the war inside. I'm learning now it's not a sin to let the softness breathe again. The heart that bends, it won't divide, it just learns how to love and survive.
Strong women.
I'm still holding on. Every tear says, I'm still holding on. Strong women cry too. That is Brenda Storm. So good afternoon to you, my beloveds. We are Mosto having a nice Saturday. And you know how we do for our first hour? We just unwind and we just talk and we just experience what we're experiencing. So ladies and gentlemen, once upon a time, there was a young lady, her name was Elise. I think Elise was like 28, 29 when they had met with, we'll call him CR7. We'll call him CR7 because we can, but anyways. So they met and they started talking. Like any other relationship in current times, it usually starts with the whole dramatics of, a little bit of social media here, a little bit of meeting over there. So let's just say hypothetically they met on the Facebook. And this is not in any way to discourage you from falling in love with your personal person. If your personal person is on Facebook, it doesn't matter. As long as you guys understand each other. And when you guys eventually meet, darlings, as long as the chemistry is there, as long as the vibe is there, as long as everything nice is there, then there's most doch no problem. There's most doch no problem. You guys can kick it. But they met on Facebook. And they started talking. So it was like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, month, 2 months of talking. And it was talking every day. It was the texts. It was the calls. It was, you know, it was the text, the calls. And eventually they exchanged numbers and then they started talking. And then eventually it led to let us have a face to face date, because now it's video calls and all of that. And they all like what they see. It's like, daddy, oh, mommy, oh, nice, wonderful things. Oh, it was love. It was love. It was beautiful. And at the point in their lives, right? Elise was going through, she was going through a state of depression. So it was nice to come out of the state of depression to find something that is exciting as well, something that is understanding. And they spoke, you know, but it wasn't just this mediocre speaking that you guys are speaking out here. This is mediocre speaking of, yeah, what did you eat today? I was like, oh, that's nice. Okay. What's your favorite shower gel? Like, no, it was deep conversations. It was conversations about what's wrong, you know, why are you depressed and where have you been? And he also shared about his experiences and what he has been through, and that he was struggling from depression as well. And he had been on medication, but now he's perfectly, or he's fine, or he's coping. And they found comfort within each other. And in this comfort that they found within each other, it was more about, you know, like really finding comfort and really being together and really just soldiering themselves through it. Now this soldiering themselves through it is when Elise looks back at it, she's like, Was it really, you know, soldiering through it together, or was it codependency, or was it trauma bonding? Were we bonding because we were traumatized, and now we're bringing our traumas together and merging our traumas, and then we love each other through the trauma or help each other heal, or what was it? Because when she thinks about it, and she really, you know, when you apply radical acceptance of the situation in which you are, it's tough. So she's thinking like, was it really love? Was it really everything that I thought it was? But nonetheless, it was beautiful. So they talked about everything, and they talked about their troubles, and they talked about their lives, and they laughed a lot. And I think that a recipe for any successful relationship in these dark times is honestly just laughter. It's laughter. It is the ability to exist in a world where there's so much bad, and you can still find humor, even if it's dark humor, even if it's light humor, even if it is comedy, as long as you guys can laugh together, I think that it is a good ingredient to have in a relationship. So they started talking, and they were doing their thing. So they started going out on dates. And now these dates were, first of all, you don't just go out at night with strange people that you met from the internet. So they started with a coffee date around 10 o'clock. And they sat at a little cafe there in the Grove. And it was open area, so in case the person is a psychopath, and they're both thinking the same thing. It wasn't just Elise thinking like, in case the person is a psychopath. Like CR was also on that. In case the person is a sociopath, you know, one is afraid of psychopaths, one is afraid of sociopaths, and they're just trying to get onto the path of each other without socios and psychos. And they met up, and they took their coffee date, and they ate cake. And they had coffee, and it was like a 3-hour date, and it was like they have met each other. They have known each other all their lives, and it was chemistry, that deep chemistry. It wasn't even sexual. It was that deep chemistry where you're like, you know, I think this is my soulmate. You know, when you meet somebody and then you're like, you know, I'm going to marry this person. This is the love of my life. Or she, eh? If love doesn't exist, eh? If I thought love didn't exist, ne, this is the person. This is my personal person. Oh, nunguno, the person understands. We catch each other's jokes. They look at something funny and then they laugh together. They have inside jokes. It was nice. Eh? Everything that you want. Everything that your relationship isn't. It was there. And then us now on the outside, we are looking at them like, wow, must be nice. So nice. Must be nice. Like, wow, these people, ne, they're having really, And then they went to the sweet style. They went to buy sweets, and they also went to the biltong shop because they have the sweet tooth, and then they have the meat taste, and it was just, it's most nice. You're like, wow. And then also finances. Or financing. So there was no, are you going to cop the bill, and are you going to what? It was just, you know, like, oh, I'm going to buy sweets. And then she bought for him, and then they went to the biltong, and then he bought for her, and then the coffee bill came, and then he copped it. So it was just crisscross, which are, you pay for this. And it looked like it was one of those where like money was not an issue. Money was not a conversation where it was like Andorra Opa Kambero Shiriai, you know? And they were talking, you know, and they had fun. And 5 hours later, so they finished with their coffee date, and then 2 hours of walking around aimlessly in the mall, but it was not aimlessly because there's a lot of hand holding, and then they sat down, and then they did window shopping, then they went to Staterfords. And then also put on some cologne, like, this is my favorite cologne, and this is my favorite perfume, and it's like, oh, when I get money, I'll buy for you, ne? Like, oh, like, okay, for Valentine's Day, I also buy for you, ne? Like, oh, it was nice. You're like, wow, oh, it's so nice. Oh, enjoy, ne? Ohore was nice in there. And then, all right, so from there, it was now going home. So at the time, he said that, like, he didn't have his vehicle. He didn't have his car because his car had like issue. So they ordered rides, and the type of ride that they ordered, you know, usually you guys go on dates and then you guys pay your $13. Not them. they paid that dial a cab life, you know, where it's $100. So $100 to go here, $100 to go there. But Elise was also a bit skeptical. So even after the date, she's not like, yeah, you're going to drop me home. So she's like, no, let's all order our own cars. So you go in that one, you go in that one. So even if you are a psychopath later, or you turn out to be a crazy person, at least you don't know where I stay, you know? And he was not thinking like that. He was just, oh, okay, cool. So they went and they went their separate ways. And when they went their separate ways, immediately when they get home, they're on the phone. So now, right, where I'm trying to give you guys all the flags, the green flags, they are there, the red flags, they are there, but we are identifying. So they get home. So they've spent 5 hours together, right? And apart from each other, they still have lives, right? They still a home life where you have things to do, you have laundry to do, or whatever you have to do. So they get home, like, and 5 minutes from the time that they get home up until midnight, these people are talking. I'm talking about away upon away. Yeah? I'm talking about super away upon super away upon super away. That time, it was the time where you can even register. Yeah? Three of them. Just one time. Three of them. So it's 9 hours, is Seven hours, nine hours, they finished. And this was like, it was nice. It was nice for Elise because she hadn't been speaking to anyone in terms of like even her struggles and her depression and what she's going through, and him the same, you know. So they leaned towards each other. They leaned towards each other. They took each other in, and through that taking each other in, they kind of filled voids that were in their lives, right? And these voids that were filled had now become like, bam, like, okay, cool, like, yo. We filled it. But if we are looking at red flags, if we're trying to identify red flags, we are talking about time that is really honestly consumed. Like, okay, so you guys spend 5 hours together, then you guys go and talk for 9 hours. And then after that, you guys talk for another 9 hours, and then 9 hours, and then 9 hours, and then 9 hours. When do you actually get to be a person? And is it just because the relationship is new? So they assume that because the relationship is new and they are probably smitten by each other, and this is just how things are going to be. And it's just for now, right? None of them thought that, like, this is actually how the person is. And none of them thought like, okay, so maybe this person is just going to really just over, like, what is it? Consume my whole entire life. Because, in as much as we say that it is so romantic and it's so beautiful for us to have somebody that we can talk to for 10 hours, 20 hours, you know, 24 hours, right? The only time that you don't talk to him or talk to her is those 4 hours in the day where you sleep for 4 hours, because now you can't really sleep for 8 hours anymore. Nobody really thinks that it is a matter of it's bad. Because productivity starts to drop. Because now, if you're going to work late every day because you're on the phone until 4 a.m., then that's bad. If you are not going to work anymore because you are on the phone all the time, if you're calling in sick because you are tired, right, from sleeping late because you've been talking to your lover, and you've been talking to Bathing, that's bad. That's a red flag. That is a very red flag. And I think many of us don't really recognize it because we're so desperate for love. We're so desperate to be taken in. We're so desperate to be loved, clingy, loved, obsessive, loved, possessive. We are so desperate for that, because I think many of us want to be loved fully, wholeheartedly, and we want to be consumed. We want somebody to prioritize us. We want to be so important in somebody's life, right, that they can barely breathe without us. We all say we don't want it, but secretly that's what we want. And that is why we start being trippy when somebody doesn't call back. We start being trippy when somebody is not answering our texts. We start being trippy when they have a life outside of the relationship, outside of our friendships, outside of us. And we start tripping about it because in secret, we want somebody that is so obsessed with us, so clingy. Like, oh, Elizabeth is the love of my life. She's all I want my whole entire life. And also, they had discussed this. So when they spoke about it, it was a conversation around like, what kind of love do you want? And imagine two depressed people talking about the kind of love that they want. So for the longest time, they've been lonely. So what would they say? I want a love that stays. I want a love that's clingy. I want a love that's obsessive. I want a love that's just for me. And that is what they became to each other. So it was one of those relationships where you don't see the one without the other, where this person doesn't have a life outside the other one, and this one doesn't have a life outside the other one. And they loved it. They were happy. And we are thriving to see people's happiness. We are thriving to see them at their best in their lives, right? The most productive, the most moneyed, the most in love, the most happiest, the most. We want people, especially our own personal people, like our sisters, our cousins, our friends, our lovers, our mothers. We want people, right, to have what their hearts desire. So when this love came about, it was good. For starters, they started gaining weight like instantly. They were two thin people, and then they fell in love, and then they started gaining weight. Now they're just almost two fat people together, and they're just following each other. And they enjoyed it. So they started going out on dinner dates as well. Then they started going out on lunch dates, and then they started, you know, dating, you know, the correct way of dating. They started dating. They went out mornings, nights, afternoons, whatever, but there was no sleepovers yet. And immediately, like maybe a month or two within the relationship, right? I think at this point, CR's money had finished. So now we can't go on dates and stuff like that. But you can't see that. Like you, Elise, ne? You can't see that. So it became a matter of, no, come over. Come over means like we are ready now. We're ready for pata pata. We are ready, you know, to be in the same space, in the same vicinity. Like, okay, so, where to? And okay, so what are we going to be doing? You know? And he's like, no, he's going to buy snacks for them and stuff like that. And then they can just go and chill and Netflix and chill. And she agrees, you know, because it's been 2 months and they're also spending a lot of money outside on takeout and all of that. And it looks like a logical explanation. It looks logical to move from takeout food to internal food where I'll cook for you. Like, hey, I'll cook for you sounds so romantic in these contemporary times, because these men, they are not cooking, man. These men, they are not cooking. But now you found a man that says like, oh, I love the kitchen. You're like, eh, daddy. Hey, ite teke mo 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 na mi bia mo never forever. Onsa tereke karunga kisira. What are you gonna cook? Like, I'm gonna cook a creme brulee. You're like, hey, crema brulee. Wow, must be nice. Like, osha. And he had the whole menu, and there was a conversation around mushrooms. And Elise loves mushrooms, right? And he's like, yeah, I don't like mushrooms. And he asked, why? Why don't you like mushrooms? She asked, why don't you like mushrooms? And he's like, because we eat it too much in our house. So now when it's too many mushrooms like that, I can't. So you want me to cook you mushrooms today when you come? Like, she's like, okay, fine. Don't cook mushrooms. And he's like, no, I know how to cook, but I'll cook for you. But then me, I won't eat because I've eaten too many mushrooms. And it's fun conversations, this one. These are all the conversations that we want to have with our partners, you know, where somebody pulls up. That's why I always say that sometimes on random days, look at somebody with a friendly face talking on the phone, and then just walk up to them. I hope you have a friendly face as well. You walk up to them and then you just ask, what are you guys talking about on the phone? Or you find them like talking to their friend. You just go and ask, what are you guys talking about? It is the funniest thing because some people are actually open enough to tell you about like what they are talking about. Sometimes they are talking about nothing, and then sometimes they are talking about something that is very, I don't know, something. And it is a weird conversation. But okay, so these are the types of people when you pull up on them and you ask like, what are you guys talking about? And one would reply like, oh, we are talking about mushrooms and what type of seasoning goes into mushrooms. And then it's so romantic. Honestly, it's beautiful. It's so, so romantic. Okay. So, she wasn't really aware of the living situation. So she decided that no, she's gonna go. And she bought a couple of snacks as well and cool drinks. And she was going to go and visit, right? And then she got into the dialer. Mm-hmm. And she was on her way. So when she got there, he opened the gate. It's like, oh, wonderful. He opened the gate and then she came in and she's like, oh, you've got dogs. Like, nice. Okay. And she thought she's walking into his place, right? She thought she's walking into his place. She thought like, okay, so this is where he is. Or, okay. And she walks into his place and full blown just that day, on that day, this is 2 months into the relationship, right? On that day, it is bam, meet my parents. Like, wait, what? Meet my parents. It's like, oh, wow. We are meeting parents. Like, on day two, we are meeting parents. And he's like, yeah, I feel like you're the one. I feel like you're the one. You're the woman I'm going to marry and going to be with for the rest of my life. And I don't feel like it's a prolonged process for me to introduce to my parents. So here are my parents. So this is Dave and this is, Maria. These are my parents, my mom and my dad. And she's like, oh, okay. Now, if you've never been introduced to parents, then it's weird. But if you have been introduced to parents, you know that it takes a while. Because anything can happen. And it's not even being skeptical. It's just being realistic. Because you guys can date for 2 weeks and then you guys break up. You guys can date for 4 days and you guys break up. You guys can date for 3 years and you guys break up. So we all know that the people that we are introducing to our parents are people that we are going to keep in our lives for a long time. So that our parents don't think we are harlots. So that our parents don't think that we're just out here sleeping around. And also we don't introduce every single person we laugh with, small laughing. I'll come and meet my parents. We don't do that. So Elise is like, oh my goodness, this guy is everything that I ever wanted in my life. He is perfect. He's just the way I like. And he's like, oh my God, Elise is the woman for me. I love her so much. She's amazing. You know, she's a strong woman. She's wonderful. Oh, and she's intelligent and beautiful. Wow. So they're thinking the same thing. And then, so it's meeting the parents. And then it's like, okay, so when you meet the parents like that, that is Elise now. Elise was planning, was now a whole thing of, she thought like they're going to be in the living room and then they're going to go into the kitchen and cook and stuff like that. But because the parents are at home, and they live there and it's their house, it was more of bedroom activities. So they ate and he already cooked. So he brought the food and they ate and it was nice. And they listened to music. They watched a couple of things. It was just, you know, like it was Netflix and chill without minus the coitus. You know, it's just Netflix and chill minus the coitus. So it was just chilling and it was just being there. So now this is the point where Elise like lets down her guard because I mean, the guy introduced me to his parents. The guy speaks to me all the time. There's no other woman and he is genuine and he is a loving person and he's kind and he's great. Like there's no reason, you know, that thing of 90 days, what? Yeah. You must wait for 90 days before you have sex with someone. First day we are in a secluded area. First day we are in a room alone together. Now the problem is that the door doesn't lock, right? So the door doesn't lock. So Elise and CR are there and they're talking and they're doing a lot of kissing and stuff because I mean, new relationship what and with the thimbi thimbi riponje takomona akuti ah thimbi thimbo mpure puro and then thimbi thimbi sha komona it is correct. So we used to ask that question which I said thimbi manda dopa ne ngata pit on that dopa yeah sha ina komona yo kwa mwena ngweto tine on that pita thimbi thimbi takomona ne and then wapita, shitoka mwono zapo, wapita shirine, kuchaya thimbi thimbi kali apuka. Like, my dear, I don't know where we found all these things, like, kuno nane, ay, kuno no kurira afawa. Onto to, imagining, like, well, maybe we heard it from a grown-up, kani shishara, no kuhithika keyurusha, apu na arodhi. Kucha, oithiki ne, no kanweha, no kashona, to tuithiki keyuru, opokuro weka arodhi. But the question is, how will you see now a lot of we are the way she penny ne? So anyways, so they start cuddling up. And also, one weird thing that kept happening was that Sia's dad, like Mr. Dave barged in. He didn't knock. Like, he kept barging in, like, now and then. Like, after, like, 20 minutes, he pulls up. He just opens the door. Like, oh, I just wanted to know if you guys have painkillers. And then he'll come back, like, oh, I just wanted to know. So he was, like, barging in all the time. He was opening the door all the time. And nighttime came. And then it was, you know, things got a little heated there. And then she was supposed to go home. Mara. Things were going so well, guys. Even me, I wouldn't go home, to be honest. Things are going well.
Win big, win now with Premier Bet Namibia Totes. Get a 200% sports bonus of up to 2,000 Namibian dollars. Sign up now at premierbet.com and use promo code Namibia264. Premier Bet, win big, win now.
All right. Hello, hello, guys. Before we get started, kucha. What's that? Brenda Storm. And we are listening to Brenda Storm today. So that's our whole entire playlist for the day. We are only listening to this auntie. Only listening to this auntie. That's what we are doing today. We are having, she's our soundtrack, you know, as we do story time, she's our soundtrack. The number in studio is 083-288-401. That's the number in studio and you can call in. So Brenda Storm, that's what we are doing for today. So, nighttime came. We leave the story at nighttime. Amara, I want you guys to take a breather quickly. When you take this breather, then we come back to what happened nighttime with Elise and CR.
It's the heart that feels. It's the way we break and still can heal.
Strong women cry too.
In the quiet rooms when the world is through, we shed our pain and rise brand new. Cause strong women cry too.
Strong women cry too.
Not for defeat, but to tell the truth. If you see these tears, don't turn away. They're how say, stay strong. Just hold me, 'cause I only am. I used to hide what hurt me deep, but now I let the world see. These scars look good on me. I used to cover up my hurt with smiles, pretend I wasn't breaking all the while. Kept my heart behind a guarded wall, so afraid to ever fall. But healing don't come easy, no, it's
messy, slow, and real. Now every mark I carry tells a story I can feel.
I don't need your pity, I don't need your eyes to see. What I've been through made me exactly who I'm meant to be. These scars look good on me. They shine where pain used to be. Every cut, every tear, every memory turned into strength inside of me. I'm not broken, I'm free. Yeah, these scars look good on me. Used to wish I could erase the past, but now I thank God it didn't last. Every heartbreak, every fall, built a woman standing tall. You can call it damage, I call it proof that I walked through the fire and came out new. So don't feel sorry when you see my pain. I learned to dance, I learned to sing again. Oh, I'm not who I was before. I wear my truth, no apology. This is who I'm born to be. Beauty ain't in being perfect, it's in surviving honestly.
These scars look good on me.
Like silver shining through. Whee! Me. Every wound became my melody. Now I'm singing victory.
These scars look good on me.
Scars look good on me. I used to think pain was part of my identity. But healing taught me how to shine again. To feel a little seen, I tried to paint a perfect face while I was breaking underneath. I said yes when I meant no, carried hearts that were my own. I was living just to please, but I forgot about me. I used to break when love would leave, the pain was who I had to be. But when I finally let it go, peace started growing from my soul. I stopped chasing love that didn't stay, and that's when beauty found me. No mirror, no filter could ever say what healing made arise.
before. Now I walk with softer steps, don't allow to feel alive. I found heaven in my breath and truth in my own eyes. The girl who begged for love to stay, she learned to give that love away to herself in every way. Now she don't fade, she radiates. I don't need that validation. My peace is my foundation. Every scar became a seed, and it bloomed right out of me. Yeah, I stopped chasing love that didn't stay. Became my gain. Now I wear my joy like perfume. My peace lights up the room. What they took, I grew it back twice as strong, and that's a fact. Crown, see, I'm glowing 'cause I'm free. Your healing made me beautiful.
I stopped looking outward and started looking in.
Healing made me beautiful.
All my sisters out there.
My dear, healing made me beautiful. So if you are looking, if you are going through the motions, darling, if you are going through the motions and you have no idea what to do with yourself, né? And you just, I don't know, you feel betrayed because, at the end of the day, right? When we look at heartbreak, when we look at tragedies, when we look at depression, when we look at everything, there is a sense of something going wrong. Right? You can be betrayed by someone. You can be betrayed by yourself. You can be misled by someone. You can be misled by yourself. It is a double-edged sword. In all honesty, it's a double-edged sword. And I'm saying that, honey, this auntie. Yeah, I know maybe you are like, no, Ami, I don't like these soft songs. Me, I like trap music. I like rap music. I like what? I like, I'm a piano. Yeah, Mara, I'm saying that if you can pace yourself and listen to the words that are being written here, I don't know if this auntie is AI. Yeah, cause I tried to look for live things and interviews or something. Yeah, Mara, it's like she just popped up. She just popped up like a couple of weeks ago. And if it is HR, if it is AI, then I don't know where the future of music is going to go, because vele, we will just listen to AI, guys. Cause how? The notes, the love, the it comes together so nicely, and it would make sense if there are no imperfections, because it's AI, because everything she's saying there, she's speaking, guys, she's speaking in tongues. Sister girl is speaking in tongues. So we're going to continue with our story now.
I've been in your shoes before. I know what it feels like to love someone so deeply that you start swallowing your truth just to keep their peace. You tell yourself it's okay. I'll heal in silence. But silence, it starts to ache, doesn't it? This one's for every woman who smiled through pain. For every heart that stayed when it should have walked away. These are the things I never said. I smiled when I should have cried. Stayed quiet just to keep the peace. I said I'm fine 1,000 times. While breaking underneath, you thought my silence meant I healed. But it was just my way to hide all the storms I never let you feel. All the words I kept inside. I learned how to love without being hurt.
How to leave behind polite words.
You'll never know the nights I prayed
for courage I never found to say.
Efiloshisho otalikula ndulako na avewayuka. Ekwashili palekolo maruendo paiwano kupitila mo NHB. Watupateleko mesho kwashili palekolo afika mafio pedola emilio na omlongo da Namibia. Moshi yoshe tukeshe kuyanja omakwafo unamiti enashane filoshisho lopa ulumo mumbu. Kwa aboveli ponje yoshilongo, shijoshi topo washo ijo yetu, tashiningwa inapawe banando ishoshe layash. Opo umone ya kulolo polis maule ominute disyonailela, lishangifako nhp.com.na umanga ino ya moruendo. Ponjeo shilongo. E mangono malandula fano odo dino kulandurwa. NHP rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
These are the things I never said. The tears I cried. Never said. I laughed through the ache in my chest, played strong so you could rest. You called me light, I played that part while dimming pieces of my heart. And I forgive you for not seeing what I hid behind my breathing. But oh, I wish you knew. The love had left became a ever said. To every woman still holding it all in, you don't owe silence to be loved. You deserve to be heard. Gently. Truthfully. Completely. Your voice is healing.
These scars look good on me. It's a wonderful day. Good afternoon, my beloveds. How are you guys doing? So, nighttime came and Mugel was most now supposed to go home. And Mugel didn't go home because, oh, she must hit the end now, man. The people love each other. They are like so smitten by each other. It was nice. It was nice. So, So at some point, a conversation arose, right? Because now you have to sit there and have conversations because you guys can't just be in the room the whole time. So you guys have to sit in the living room and the parents are very active in the sitting room. Like, it's like, they're just chilling there in the sitting room. So eventually, Elise and CR, they went out to sit in the sitting room and they went to sit outside a little bit. And, conversation started with the parents, and the parents were asking questions like, oh, who's your mom? Okay. Who's your dad? Okay. Where are you from? Okay. What level of education? Like, okay. So what do you do? Okay. And how are you? How many kids? They are asking real questions. And these are the types of questions that parents are supposed to be asking. You know, your child can't just bring home a random stranger. You don't ask questions. Like, how guys ask questions. Eh? Which side of Kombada was your other parent? Were they under the trenches or above the trenches? Like, which side did they fight for? We need to know. So the questions came up, and one of the questions that also came up is, do you know his problem? You know? And Elise is like, yeah, he told me about his depression and what. And it's like, oh, okay, but there's another problem. Did you know about that other problem? And, Elise is like, yeah, I know that he used to dabble in narcotics. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so, okay. And then she's like, okay. The parents are like, oh, okay. So you did tell. So you told the other one, literally asked him in front of Elise, like, you told the other one. But in this point, right, Elise is now so smitten and everything is so loving and in love and it's beautiful, mostoch. So she's not really paying attention to the Q's and the A's and the T's and C's. So the bird and the B's, she's not really paying attention. She's just like, I'm just happy to be here. I'm just happy to be alive, guys. I'm just happy to be part of this. You know, I'm happy, you know? And so she's not really listening to her heart, or not even her heart, her intuition. She's not listening to the tone. She's not listening to the way they are looking. She's not doing any of that. She's just happy to be here. She's smiling. Like, I'm just happy to be here. Okay, great. She's in love, guys. Like, well, love is blind, buddy. Yeah. I was blind. So she's there, and it starts getting late, and it starts getting really late. And it's a point where he's like, no, I think you should just spend the night. And she's like, I don't think that's a good idea. And he's like, yeah, but I wouldn't want my woman to be driving around at night in random cars and stuff like that. You know, so please do it for me. Of course. Yes, I will. I'll do anything for you. Yes. And then she spends the night and she just lets the people at home know that, okay, so guys, I'm spending the night at a friend's house because, you know, she is introducing to parents and stuff, but she's like, me, I'm conscious, and I'm cautious. I'm not just going to be introducing strangers, strange conversations. I'm not just going to be doing that. No. So she says that, no, she's spending the night at her friends, and that was all she wrote. And her people, they're like, she's an adult. She's the head of the house. So it's all good. Like, oh, okay. Yes, ma'am. Cool. She spends the night, and the next day, you know, she wears one of his t-shirts, you know, those romantic things. Yeah, wears one of his t-shirts, and
you know, I'm wearing my boyfriend's and my boyfriend. So it went on to boyfriend. And it's status upon status, you know, and literally he's like uploading, you know, pictures of them two together that other time when they went out and that other time, like, and it's nice. So what we would identify as a red flag there is the fact that it was all this love, all this what that is given so fast, so quick, so now.
Ooh. They say every goodbye looks different. But mine look like you walking away. And me pretending I'd be fine. The coffee's cold, your cup's still there. The bed's too wide, but I don't care. Your hoodie hangs where you left it last. Guess some goodbyes just come too fast. I still replay what we didn't say. Your voice fades slow, but it don't fade away. Every corner holds a piece of you. And I'm still learning what letting go can do. I try to smile and tell my friends I'm fine. But I still see your name.
Learning. a lifetime to learn. And every love leaves a color behind. Mine was painted. Goodbye. There's a kind of tiredness no sleep can fix. The kind that comes from begging someone to see a word. If you're listening to this, just know love was never meant to break you this way. I held on longer than I should have. Prayed for the day you finally choose me. I kept fixing pieces you kept breaking. Loving a man who only loved when it was easy. And I stayed, 'cause I thought loyalty meant swallowing pain. But the mirror keeps asking why I love someone who never even tried. I gave you the best of me, and you gave me memories that still bleed. Now every sorry feels rehearsed, and I'm running out of ways to explain my hurt. I'm too tired to beg for, too drained to keep fighting for us. You only hear me when I'm breaking. Only hold me when I'm shaking. I'm all cried out. I've had enough. I'm too tired.
Too tired.
Too tired.
Too tired.
I used to dream we'd grow into forever. But forever don't grow where there's no care. You made my heart feel like a burden, like my feelings were too heavy to bear. And I stayed, even when silence was louder than your voice. But tonight I finally choose myself, 'cause staying with you ain't love, it's just noise. I kept believing you would change, but the truth is we don't heal in the same lane. I'm tired of love.
Prayers through swollen eyes, carried heartbreak like it was mine to justify. But loving you felt like losing breath, like apologizing for the pieces I had left. So if you look for me tomorrow, I won't be where I lost myself in sorrow. I'm moving on, 'cause I deserve a love that doesn't feel wrong. Too tired to beg for love. My heart something you can just touch and give up. You only care when I was sinking. Never asked what I was thinking. I'm done breaking, just feeling up. I'm too tired. I'm too
too tired, so I fade. One thing about a woman with a tired heart, when she finally walks away, she never looks back.
It wasn't the kind of heartbreak you scream about. No fights, no doors slammed. Just silence. And somehow that hurt louder than anything he ever said.
We stopped talking in full sentences. Just half smiles and I'm fine. He'd hold me like a stranger, like love had slipped through time. Coffee turned cold between us, his phone lit up more than his eyes. And I learned heartbreak doesn't always shout, sometimes it just says goodbye. Kept checking my phone for ghosts, reading old texts like prayer notes, every word a quiet echo of what we used to be. He broke me gently, no storm and goodbye, just drifted away till I forgot how to try. He broke me softly, like fading sunlight, and I was left in the dark, learning how to cry. He broke me gently, and somehow that was worse than a lie. The scent of him still lives in my sweater, though I washed it 100 times. I replayed his laughter in my head. Silence became my lullaby. Now I whisper to the woman I'm becoming, you're still worthy of love that stays. I forgive him, not for him, but for me. 'Cause sometimes healing sounds like walking away. I survived,
picked up my pieces,
and came back to life.
He broke me softly,
but I found my light, and the silence told me how to rise. Yeah, he broke me gently, but now I know gentle doesn't mean right. He left quietly, but I'm the one who stayed broken.
Ooh. I gave my all to someone who couldn't stay, held on to shadows that faded away. Built a dream that he refused to see. Now the only thing I'm saving is me. A broken silence just a healing grace. Learn to love the woman in that mirror face to face.
He doesn't deserve my tears.
Not one more drop tonight. I've cried enough to drown the hurt inside. No more prayers for the one who disappeared.
He doesn't deserve.
No, he doesn't deserve my tears.
Forgiveness like a heavy chain. Believe that healing may not forget the pain, but every scar reminds me I survived. Every fall just proved I'm still alive.
I used to chase the ghosts inside my sleep.
Now peace. To my praise, I found God in the silence after crying, and He told me I was never made to stay in
pain.
Tears are only for me, and they fall to water. Something new.
Alrighty, that was Brenda Storm giving us the most throughout everything that we are talking about. So anyways, anyhow, so there are a couple of red flags that we can see within our story, and we're like, you know, we're looking at some of the stories and we're like, ah, Mara, this one, it doesn't really, it's not really sitting and it's not really, but okay, okay. So there's nothing that is happening that is out of the ordinary and it's fine. So eventually, they started seeing each other and she started going over a lot, which was one thing, one quality that she also like appreciated. The fact that, basically he was honest. He was honest. He was truthful about his situations and what he was going through. And he was very open and they could talk about anything for long hours. And they kept going in and out and in and out. And so they were together for like a month after that. And then, there was now a bit of a scuffle. Now this bit of a scuffle came in when they went out one evening and, they were at a restaurant, and then he started going to frequenting the toilet a lot, like going to the bathroom a lot. I'm coming now. And it was like after every 5 minutes, and then he would come back, and then he's happy or he's in a different mood, and then he'll put on his shades, and then it's just, you know, like, and then he became like a little paranoid, like, oh no, that waiter is looking at me. Oh, that waiter is looking at me. That waiter is looking at me. And she didn't really read too much into it. And you know, when you understand people's situations, you know, the person is going through a lot You start to make excuses, you know, your own excuses. Nobody asked you, ma'am, but you start to make excuses. So she's like, no, he's most probably just not accustomed to really going out because he was suffering also from anxiety. And also. So this was now his behavior in the restaurant, in and out. And then, he said, I'm coming now. He's going to take a phone call. And she's eating and basically having a good time. And by this point, they've been together for like 3 months or 4 months. And she's sitting and she's eating, right? And she finishes eating and his food is there getting cold. So she orders a doggy bag. She orders a doggy bag, puts the food in the doggy bag, and then she's sitting and then she's waiting. And then she notices that it's been long. So she calls. She's like, hey, pups, so where are you? Like, because, yeah, we have to cop the bill and we have to go. And she's calling, but no answer. And then, first of all, it was, no, I'm coming now. I just quickly went to get something. Oh, no, I'm on my way back. Then it just didn't get there, you know? So 2 hours pass, and then she's like, no. So she gets the bill, and at this point, she calls him, and the phone is not going through. The phone is not going through at all. And she's like, okay. So she gets into the car and she goes home. She goes home and she's now worried. So this day goes by and no contact whatsoever. And then day two comes up, no contact. And then late in the afternoon, around 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, she decides that, you know what? Let me call one of his parents, because now she has numbers. Let me call one of his parents. Like, oh, good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon, ma'am. I was wondering if CR is there. And they're like, oh, no, he's not here, but maybe you should come and wait for him. And she's like, oh, okay. All right. So she gets into a car and then she goes over to his house, and then she waits for him. So she's sitting there and she's waiting. So now what she notices inside the room is that the things that were there like a week ago, they're not there, you know, like his clothes and shoes and stuff like that. They're not there. And then also, colognes and stuff, like, cause he had like a collection of colognes. They're not there. So she notices these little things, but she doesn't say anything about it because she's like, oh, like, okay, because she, like, there was plackies and there was t-shirts and stuff that she was wearing when she slept over, or when she started sleeping over and stuff, so she didn't have to really go with stuff, so it's all good. And but then she had left some stuff there and they were still there, so she just changed and then she just basically sat and then she waited. So now when he came back, he was dressed in, you know, I know this is going to be a shocker, right? He was dressed in something like Bumalar clothes, you know, raggedy clothes. And it's clothes that are not his, like a big trouser that looks like it came from the trenches, you know, and an oversized t-shirt with holes or something like that. And the plackies that he was wearing was like, they were tied together by ropes on that artist or something. And she's like, how happened to my gentleman? Like, sir, what's up? What happened? So he comes into the house and he's not expecting anybody. He's just expecting his parents. He knocks because now he can't call, right? Because his phone has been off since yesterday. So he knocks and then the parents open him and then he comes into the house. And when he comes into the house, he takes off the things outside because they are dirty and smelly. So he walks into the house in underwear. And then when he opens his room door, bam, it's Elise. And she's like, what is this? Maybach music? What is this? And basically he breaks down, you know, like, I know, babe. I had a relapse, you know, I went to use and this is the reality of things, you know, like, it's so bad and yo. And she's never seen this and she's never been exposed to this. And it's like, oh, okay. So why are you naked? You know, it's like, I know the clothes that I was wearing, I put it outside. And She's like, the clothes that you, that I saw you wearing look very raggedy, because she saw him through the window. Like, looks very raggedy. Like, whose clothes are those? And then he pulled up with a whole story of, he got robbed. Somebody took his things, you know, because he also wears nice brands and stuff. And he got robbed yesterday. And then he spent the whole night trying to look for the people that stole his things and even his shoes. And then just some homeless people that gave him clothes to wear so that he can continue looking for the people. Now, I mean, my question would be, if I was Elise now, if you get robbed, why are you continuing to look for the people? You are looking for the people so that the people do what? Exactly. Like, why? Why are you looking for the people? So that the people do what exactly? And also, don't you come home and dress so that when you dress, you can go and look for the people? Just the people that you are looking for, you know? So he's like, no, I had to go and look for those people. And did you find them? And he's like, yeah, I found them, but they sold all my things. They sold my phone. They sold my stuff. They stole my stuff. And Elise is like, oh, okay. And then, you know, like she's like, and he also goes on to say like, yeah, and then, I just kind of, you know, spiraled out of control when this thing happened. So I'm so sorry for this. Then he goes and takes a shower and now he smells, you know, he smells like he smells like really bad. And he goes and takes a shower. And then that's also when he talks about the fact that he relapsed, right? Like, I relapsed. So I was so angry. I was so upset. I don't even know what happened. And Elise is trying to backtrack because, okay, so you got robbed in the hood, right? But we were not in the hood. You left me at a restaurant. Sir, you left me at a restaurant with a bill and then after that you got robbed. Like, you went where did you go? And he's like, no, a friend of mine called me and then I had to go and do what? Like, and she's like, okay, but how does your friend call you and then you just leave, but you leave me in a restaurant with a whole entire bill and you don't even notify me about it? What if I didn't have money to cop the bill? What if, you know, like I don't understand. And his story just doesn't make sense. But it's also those new times and it's also the beginning of the relationship. So she's afraid to mess it up. She's afraid to mess it up because he's such a good guy. And this was like his one time that he did something weird and out of character. So she's like, okay, you know what? I'm going to leave it. And he also admits that he relapsed. So with relapse, you are most now supposed to be, supportive. Am I? You're supposed to be Bob the Builder. You're supposed to be supportive. So in this being supportive, she's like, okay, you know what? All right, let's try and get help with this. Like, so before you go too far, so that you can just have a support group that can help you, you know, in all of this, that can help you, Chomi, like baby love, that can help you through your struggles, you know, because I mean, you're a great man. You are a catch. You are exactly what I want you to be. You are clingy in love. You are beautiful. And also he says something. Like I'm so grateful that I found you here, you know, waiting for me. I just never thought that you would be here waiting for me, and I love you so much. And I love you just popped up just like that.
I used to think love meant giving everything, even the pieces I needed to survive. I kept telling myself that if I held on long enough, he would finally see me. Finally choose me. Finally love me back. But somewhere between the waiting and the wishing, I disappeared. I became a woman who apologized for her own heart. A woman afraid to ask for the things she deserved. And the saddest part, I didn't even notice I was breaking. Until I had nothing left to give.
I was was breaking slowly, breaking quietly, breaking before the intro even began. I lost myself loving you, and you never even knew. I dimmed my light to fit your shadow, but your heart stayed empty too.
This is the part of me you never cared to see, but it's where my story starts.
As a woman, you learn that love don't always mean peace. Sometimes you gotta lose everything to find yourself again. This one's for every heart that had to let go, even when it still remembers.
I see her stand where I used to be, that same front porch, those memories. She's got your hand, you look so free, but I know the story underneath. You painted over our history, change the locks, but not the energy. I hear our echoes in your smile, pretending everything's fine. I bet she thinks she found forever, but forever don't mean here. You can't erase the storms we weather, you just change who's behind the wheel.
She took my place, but not my pain. She's got the sunshine after rain. She's wearing joy I had to fade, living the dream I helped you make. But deep down, the truth.
I'm still standing. I'm still alive. So there are inconsistencies in the man's story. It just doesn't make sense. But that one of the red flags also popped up, and the flag that popped up was the fact that she wanted to silence the conversation. She wanted to let the conversation go because she didn't want to mess it up. Because apart from this particular thing that he did that doesn't make sense, it's not that he did anything. It just doesn't make sense, right? Apart from that, he has been absolutely perfect. But now there was now the issue of the phone. So now at this point, he doesn't have a phone, right? Doesn't have a phone. Because the robbers, whoever the robbers are, they took the phone. So, she's getting ready. She's getting ready and she's like, no, where's the t-shirt that I wore last time? You know, his t-shirt. And he's like, no, all my clothes, like, because now there's no cupboard inside his room, right? And she asked, like, okay, so where do you keep your clothes? And he's like, no, because there's no built-in cupboard in this room. I keep all my clothes in the other room on the other side. And oh, she's like, oh, okay. So it's a bit intrusive and invasive to go into people's storerooms and, you know, storerooms and rooms where they keep their stuff. So it was never a thing that was repeated again. So she just, you know, had her own pages and had her own stuff. So they continued the conversations, and then there was a braai, you know. So he's like, you know, he cooks, right? He's like great in the kitchen. So he went to light a fire and he marinated meat. And, you know, in our households, we don't just, because they only lived three. They don't just marinate. You don't just marinate like a whole thigh, you know, a whole goat thigh, or a whole goat, you know, half of a whole goat. You don't marinate it just for eating purposes. And you guys are only three in the house or only four in the house, you know? And this is exactly what he did. He marinated vort, he marinated chicken, he marinated half a goat, and it was like a party. And she asked, like, are you expecting people? And it's like, no, we're just going to eat. Let's eat. You know? Let's eat. And she's like, wow, okay. Like, oh, must be nice. These are nice things. Oh my goodness. Okay, so they sit outside, they have fun, they're drinking cool drink, you know, and just vibing, you know, just vibing, and it's nice, and it's chilled, and it's great. And also, their coitus life is also happening, in case you were wondering, because I have the life. It's happening, it's really happening, it's like happening great. And it's also happening after a long period of drought. So it was dry in the desert, and then it started raining. So it was raining, it was nice. The relationship was great, you know. So so the conversation around it came along, like, so how are you feeling about the relapse, you know? How are you feeling about the relapse? What are we going to do? Is there anything that we should do about the relapse? How is it going to be managed? And he's like, no, I just need a support group, or I need to, you know, talk to somebody and see if I'm going to do, like, you know. And that's when they started looking for groups, and they found, like, Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, and they found groups, and they started going to meetings together. These meetings were productive, you know. These meetings were productive. It was one of those like, hey guys, my name is Elise and I am 1 month sober. Hey Elise. And just like in the movies, like, hey Elise. And she's like, oh my goodness. And it was great because they would walk around town. They loved each other. To be honest, they loved each other. They were smitten by each other. They loved each other. And they go to places together. They sit. And it was just them, you know. But in this love, what Elise notices now is the fact that basically she shut everything out. And it's not because he was isolating her or it was his intention to. He was just a lot. You know, when somebody is a lot, the person's personality takes up the whole entire room. Yeah, he was like that. And it wasn't just personality. It was just his emotions and the things that he's going through, and, you know, and all of this. So it was a lot. So eventually, like, she became consumed by him. And we wouldn't say that he was consumed by her, because he didn't have anything going on in his life. And by anything, we mean anything. There was nothing going on in his life. So he had all the time in the world to be calling every day. I always say that, if you're going to find a relationship and you are trying to figure out red flags because everything is going so well, you're trying to see what is a red flag. Part of the red flags, especially with current men, like Namibian men right now, the men that are on the market, is that they have nothing to do. Somebody that has nothing to do is dangerous because you become their project. You become their interest. So in this project that you become, right? You feel loved and feel seen because this person is apparently making time to talk to you all the time, making time to video call, making time to see you. But the truth is that it's not making time. It's that you're the only thing that's there. So it's not really making time if there's nothing else. There's no job to compete with. There's no friends to compete with. There's no outings to compete with. There's nothing to compete with. So you are by default, not by choice. And this is something that she didn't see. So when she would go to work, you know, he would call in the morning and during the ride to work and at work. And then she starts working a little bit and then calls like, oh, I just miss you so much. And it was romantic. And it was exactly what she needed. It was exactly what she needed because she needed that care. Keep in mind that she's coming out of something as well. So she needed that care. She needed that person that cares if she ate. She needed that person that cared if she was fine. The person that cared about what she was doing. The person that cared. And he was that. He cared. Did you like, okay, so how about you go and freshen up, take a shower. And then after you're done, like maybe we can sit and we can play a game or something like that. And he was good. Listen to music together and it was nice, you know, and after long days and hectic shifts and all of that, he was always there. So she could rock up at any time. Parents knew her, and that was like the love bombing now, like so many ounces of love all just dished and thrown your way just at once. And the parents, they loved her, and it was her safe haven, you know. It was like her safe space where she could just be a person outside of the responsibilities that she had to carry. And I think that one red flag that we as people should actually start looking at is the red flag of a space to escape. A space to escape is nice. A space to escape is good. But the things that you are escaping from, right, are those not the things that make you a responsible person? Are those not the things that make you a sane person? Are those not the things that build your character? Because you're escaping from a very loud house, escaping from a very busy schedule. You're escaping from a busy work life, right? You're escaping to a place where you're just a person. But the truth is that you are not just any person. You are you. And everything that you might deem as chaotic is exactly what builds your character, is exactly what makes you the lovable person that this person is now smitten by. So this space that you are escaping to, that allows you to escape to this place, is this place good or is it bad? And is it something that is going to break you in the long run? Or is it something that's actually building you? Because we understand if you're tired, you can go to a guest house and go and sleep. Book yourself in a hotel and go and sleep. Go to a massage place and ask them, like, I want one more hour. You guys don't have to do nothing. I want one more hour and I'm going to pay for it. Like, I'm getting a service and I'm going to sleep for the next hour. You know, go. But you to escape to a whole entire life where you are not known as mom, you're not known as boss, you're not known as sister, you're not known as employee, you're not known as employer, you're just a girl. Ask yourself, in this environment that I am just a girl, am I really honestly just a girl? Or am I trying to dim a light that is my own light that I should be polishing and making sure that I learn how to thrive and I learn how to control things in the environment that I have created. And sometimes, especially when things are bad on the outside, we have a tendency of trying to find ways to escape. And part of trying to find ways to escape is escaping into the arms of people that are more detrimental than what we are running from. They are poisonous. They are lethal. They are going to spend time chipping away at you and you won't even notice it because you deem them to be a safe haven. It's like drinking poison because you're thirsty. When you're drinking it, you don't feel the burn. You go and feel the burn when the poison is done. And that's when you start burning. That's when life happens, right? That's when the poison takes effect. So she looks at it now and she's really, and these are her therapy sessions, by the way. These are her therapy sessions and this is her telling the psychologist, right, what happened and why she's here. So this is the story of Elise and CR. And she says that it was nice because she didn't have to be the responsible one. She didn't have to be the one that is checking if the doors. She could just be a girl. And I can relate. I can relate with wanting to just be an ordinary person where I'm not the head of the house, where I'm not the one that the shot caller, you know, where I'm not the one that is making sure that everybody is safe, where I'm not making sure that the gate is locked and the alarm is on and the electric fence is working. Just a world where somebody else can pick up the slack, because if you don't do it, nobody else will. If you don't pick up the slack, nobody else will. And I get it. I understood this. I understood why, right? Why she could fall for something that she could see from the get-go. I understood why she allowed certain things to play off and not pay mind to it. Because she was holding on to her safe space. She was holding on to the one space where she was just Elise. It wasn't, yeah, Elise, the firstborn daughter, the caretaker of orphans, Elise, the mother, Elise, all these things, right? She wasn't these things. She was just Elise. And she was being taken care of. And I think that many of us long to be taken care of. Many of us want to be taken care of. We play chivalry off because we are afraid of, disappointing ourselves, you know, by wanting something that you might not get. Like, for example, having high expectations for somebody that's not like that. Like you are married to this whole Vambu dude that doesn't believe in opening doors, but you want your door to be open for you and you want him to take care of you and you want him to, like, we want to be taken care of and we want to be taken care of in many ways. And she used to tell him that I'm just like an egg. I want to be treated like an egg. I want to be treated like a princess. You know, because princesses are small. Queens have to run kingdoms, but princesses are babies of the queen. So it's that. And I get it. I get why she turned a blind eye. She turned a blind eye when the world was crashing. The world was crashing on her and she opted to take coverage in this guy's arms. And this guy himself is not bad at all. He's the perfect gentleman. He's loving. He's kind. He's funny. And he knew how to. You know, he knew how to take care of her. So, she started spending more time there and less time at home because, you know, home is the chaos and his home is the peace. So she started spending more time there. Now, spending more time there would mean like she would go with some clothes and all of that. And part of this was that she has to do laundry, but by the time she gets up, like, and I know, like, we might be like, yeah, Elise just wanted a maid. No, it wasn't. It was being taken care of, knowing that somebody else cares about what you're going to look like tomorrow. Knowing that somebody else cares about what you're going to eat in the morning. Knowing that somebody else cares about running the bath. Knowing that someone else cares. Because you do all this and nobody ever does it for you. When last did somebody run your bath water? I'm asking you, you the listener, I'm asking, when last did somebody run your bath water? Run your bath water, put some salt inside, you know, some sea salt inside there to suck up negative energy, and then put some bubble bath so that you can just sit and you can just rest. When last did somebody give you a massage? Your lover, your partner give you a massage simply because, you know, you've been going through a lot lately. Let me take care of you. When last did your partner, apart from the food that you guys are eating for dinner, when last did your partner just wake up and just cook and give you? You know, where you don't have to go into the kitchen and go and look for it yourself. And yeah, when last did you wake up to somebody that ironed your clothes that you're going to wear for work? When last did somebody pick out exactly the outfit that you actually wanted to wear without you telling them, because you guys are so synchronized, right? You're like, what? You picked this outfit out. I was thinking about wearing it, and then I didn't want to wear it because it has wrinkles and I don't like ironing. Well, you were in luck because I like to iron. So it was nice. She enjoyed it and it was good. And she says that, so she's telling a therapist, she says that part of why she allowed herself to dive into it is because he was everything. Every single thing that she ever wanted in a man. Everything. He was loving, he was kind, he was concerned. He asked necessary questions like, how are the kids? You know, how's your mom? You know, how's your dad? You know, how? Like, he asked necessary questions. How's work going? You know, necessary questions. And he listened. He listened and he remembered and he understood. He asked. He asked all the questions like, what happened in your past relationship? Like, are you over it? Like, okay. So, yeah. Not those things of listening of what happened in your past relationship so that I don't do the same, or I do the same, or I know how you're... It was from genuine concern. And also, one thing that she appreciated was that he was not a party person. He's not gone to the club or gone out with Feleb or gone out with Brianna, or he's out with friends. He was not that. He was a homebody and she was a homebody. So they were homebodies together. So she says that the relationship was absolutely perfect for her. It was perfect. It was everything she ever wanted. Everything. And it's so difficult in our time to find a person, an individual that is everything you want. All of it. Everything you want and more. This person was that. Everything she ever wanted, he was. He was a great listener. He was active. He was also like handy, you know, and it nullified. It nullified everything. She wanted someone that was going to be in her corner. She wanted someone that's going to also take care of her while she can take care of him also. So they wanted a thing of, let's take care of each other. And for the long time, that's really what she got. So the relapses kind of stopped, or it stopped, right? Because they started doing activities, you know, to stay away from the narcotics. So, then I think like a month later, so it started happening now every month that this guy is now using. So one day in the month, it's like periods. One day in a month, he would just disappear and come back with nothing. So she started now checking, which are like, okay, so you say that the clothes, right? Your things are in the other room, in the storeroom, but I never see you going inside that storeroom. Yeah, because I don't need anything. Okay. But we go outside. But you would rather just wash what's here instead of going to look for clothes in the other room. And it's like, oh, okay. There were a little few things, you know, little things that were weird, you know, like he would have to, you know, ask certain questions to his parents. He would, like, there were little few things that were like out of the ordinary. And she asked questions, but not with a prying, not with a concern. It was just more about like, oh, okay. So, all right. So she figured that he doesn't have. She figured that, you know what? There are no clothes in the other room. There are no clothes in the other room. And most probably because of the employment situation, he most probably doesn't have. But he's such a neat person that even if he doesn't have, his clothes are always clean. Like, even if it's just three clothes, they're always clean. They're always clean. They're always taken care of. They're ironed. He's appropriate. He's neat. His haircut is always there. His beard cut is always there. He's neat and he's clean. It doesn't smell like trash. And so she figured that, you know what? It's been like 6 months, you know, still together, still growing strong. So she decided like, so she would pass by, in town or something and she would see something that's cute, like, oh, this is a nice shirt, you know? So she would get him like a shirt, she would get him like a t-shirt, she would get him like little stuff like that, like little gifts, but it wouldn't be like gifts of, I'm buying you a book or something, because that one's not practical. And especially with the type of person that she is, she's more practical than the whole romance thing. She's more practical about gifts. Should get you a gift that you need. So if you haven't had a phone for like 2 years, she wouldn't go and get you like, oh, a lavender smelling pillow. No, she would get you a phone because that's practical. So she started, you know, like she'll buy small things. And then, she bought like a phone because now he was communicating from his parents' phone when they were not together. So she's like, ah, yeah, you're disturbing the parentals. And especially considering the fact that they talk for like long hours. So she got him like okatoshe, you know, like okatoshenga, you know, to chill with, to stay with. And they continue, they talk, and he had interest in the things that she does, and she also had interest in the things that he liked, you know. He liked art, you know, he liked to work out, and he's such a precise person. She says that he's a precise person, that he can look at something and then, like, drawing wise, no, not really, but creating it, like paper mache and like artwork, and he could just do beautiful things. And that's what he was doing, you know, and that's what he was doing with his time. And she's a creative as well. So she liked this. She loved the fact that there was a sense of creativity, because creativity is therapeutic. Creativity is therapeutic, and it is a nice outlet. And he would also work out, and, you know, and then there were also meetings that he was going to, and things were looking up, and she would buy like small little things, but there was always everything. Like, she never lacked. Every single time that they went, she never lacked. There was never a lack. And there was also, cash that was on hold, like his cash that was on hold somewhere. Like, you know, those accounts that take a couple of years to mature. So he had like an investment, and that's why she never thought like he's a bum, because he had an investment that was, you know, maturing while he waits and thugs it out. And his parents were very supportive. They would give, and they would donate, and they would, you know, allow, you know, and invest in the relationship. So they were great investors in the relationship, and their relationship was growing, and it was great. And then at some point, like in month 10, let's say month 10, there was now the drastic drug use, where I think he stumbled upon some money. Or she says he stumbled upon some money, and he just went for like a couple of days. Usually he would just relapse one day, and then that's over, and then like calm down, that's over. And in all of this, she started seeing it as normal, you know, like, I don't know, sometimes just this. but he's a nice guy, you know. I think the niceness and the love was overclouding what was happening truly, and also the lack of knowledge about these kinds of situations, because within our Black community, we don't really talk about drug use. We don't really talk about the end deal. We don't talk about what happens to the families and loved ones of people that are on narcotics. We kind of just talk about drugs are bad, but it wasn't really like, it's not outlined. And also it's so hidden. I think that there are politicians and government officials in Namibia that are really honestly benefiting from the drug trade, because the drug trade doesn't falter. There's no politician that is coming to the forefront and their campaign is to stop drugs. Ah, everybody just wants housing, wants roads, water, electricity, you know, sustainable basic living, what. But we have a pandemic on our hands. We've got drug and alcohol addiction, and we have sections in hospitals that are designed for these types of addiction and mental disorders and stuff like that. But yet, no politician is coming to the forefront. No politician is coming to the front to say that, you know, we're going to start a war against drugs. You know that every single, do you know that there's a drug house in every single location in Windhoek? Every single one. You think that you live in the safest location, but there are like two drug houses in Pioneer's Park, like a full on trap house, full on, like where people go and do their crack, go and do their drugs. Straight. And we're not talking about the park. We're talking about houses that are trap houses. And in Katutura, every second house is a trap house. And the neighbors don't say nothing. And nobody's saying anything about it. The politicians, the government is saying nothing about it. Nobody's talking about it. But it's so bad. And it's so bad to the point where the police knows that this is a crack house. And nothing's happening. Like, how do we know that this is a house where people sell illegal substances that affect people in such a negative way? There's currently a case that's running, Masala's case that's running. And part of the questions that was asked was that, does your friend's mother know that he's a drug dealer, that he sells drugs to completely break down South Africans? Like, does she know that that's what her son does? You know? And I felt that. I was like, you know, it's so bad. It's really bad. And I think that many of us don't understand the magnitude of it, because we haven't been in these situations and we haven't seen it firsthand. But many of the suicides that we are looking at, in all honesty, because we don't like to shindura the dead, but many of these suicides that we are looking at is, especially in men, men are on drugs, guys. Men are on drugs. Even if you are thinking that, no, this guy is a guy from the village, he doesn't know those things. Men are on drugs. Kids, there's no logical explanation as to why a 17-year-old would just wake up and machete everybody in the house the day of the pension. Because if you wanted alcohol, right, if it was about getting drunk, you wouldn't need a pensioner's entire money. Drugs have infiltrated villages and you don't know it. You don't know it because you're not exposed to it and nobody talks about it. And it is what it is, because you ask yourself like, okay, no, mental health crisis. But you guys know that some people's mental health crisis is brought by the drugs that they are using. You know, they become aggressive, they become violent, they become abusive, they become all these bad things. And we still, because nobody talks about it, because if we start a campaign about it, I can guarantee you now that it's going to be shut down so quickly. If Namibians decide that tomorrow, like, the whole entire country is on standstill to eradicate drugs, I'm telling you, the leader of that movement is going to die. Because the people that are benefiting from the drug trade, are big. How do containers of narcotics go missing in a police station? Containers. Containers upon containers upon containers of real hard solid drugs. in this country, they go missing. How do, there's these people that swallow balloons or swallow condoms full of drugs, drug trafficking, right? Do you know that, they know the kgs that they are carrying? Especially, yeah, you know the kgs that you're carrying, but I know someone, right, that came all the way from their country and they had X amount of narcotics to bring in, right? And only a small dose of the narcotics was reported. So I would carry like 5 kg, right, of narcotics, get on a plane, and then maybe somewhere, somehow, somebody rats me out and then I get detected and, okay, we are waiting for the balloons to come out. Then the balloons come out, right? And I know I had 5 kg, right? And when the charge comes that I had 1 kg. And it happens a lot. It happens a lot within our police officers. It happens a lot, you know, within our, like, it happens so much. Like, this is not even an accusation. I'm just saying these things happen. Like, how does narcotic evidence just go missing? Like, it's wild. Okay. So now you are doing time in jail for a 1 kg. It's great for you because it's not the 5 kg, but that means, right, that 4 kg were stolen, but stolen by who? If you guys were just with the cops, stolen by who? So basically the cops take this, or whomever, allegedly. Kama. So basically, Anua, the cops take this and then they go and resell it. Yeah, they go and resell it. They just take it. And it's usually somebody that is ratted out, kucha. Oh, there was a deal that was going to go there. Let's go and acquire that thing. It's a very dirty game, that one. It's very, very dirty. And nobody really knows the depth of it. Especially if you are on the outside and you don't have access to things like that. But I wish we had a ballsy politician. I wish we had a ballsy politician that could really make that the forefront of their campaign. Because how can we be in a place called Katutura? You know, Katutura means that we don't rest, right? Katutura, we don't sit. Katutura, we don't rest. We don't hear mana. We don't gunda. We don't, yeah, interpretation now. And every second house is a drug house. And this is just our life. Like, that's it. But we want to fight for land. We want to fight for what? The resources. We want to fight for the youth. But the youth can't perform because the youth are on drugs. We want to fight for the youth to come and get what? Assistance and all of that. Do you know why the girl child is excelling so much? The girl child is excelling because the boy child is absent. The boy child is absent because the boy child is on drugs. That's why. And the girl children, yeah, some of them are on drugs as well. But I think it's the functioning part that kind of makes it difficult for us to identify that this is actually a bad thing. This is a very dangerous thing. It's lethal. I think it's because of that we don't identify it. And we don't identify it quick enough. Also, our hospital, you know, they want you to section somebody. For example, if somebody's like on drugs or alcohol is going crazy, you as the family members, you guys can call the police, and then the person is picked up because their person is having mental episodes and whatever, and you guys are afraid for your life. Then you put him inside the psychiatric, right? And that is sectioning, where somebody brings you and somebody must sign you out. But if you are having a problem, and you don't feel yourself and you are a substance user, they won't admit you. You know? So you must be brought by somebody so that somebody is accountable for you. But if you see that you are having a problem, you can't get assistance. That's Ministry of Health for you. Like, wild. I'm like, yeah. Oh, okay. And these are all conversations that Elise is having, you know, conversations that she's really bringing up. And my heart bled for her, you know. I was like, you're going through a lot. Like, you're going through a lot. And at this point, right, she looks rough. She looks tired. She looks like she's really going through the motions and all of that. And I'm like, I wonder what your little heart is saying.
An empty street, an empty house, a hole inside my heart. I'm all alone, the rooms are getting smaller. I wonder how, I wonder why, I wonder where they are. The days we had, the songs we sang together, oh yeah. And oh my love, holding on forever, reaching for the love that seems so far. So I say a little prayer, and hope my dreams will take me there, where the skies are blue, see you once again, my love. Overseas from coast to coast, find a place I love the most, where the fields are green, see you once again, my love. I try to read, I go to work, I'm laughing with my friends, but I can't stop to keep myself from thinking, oh no. I wonder how, I wonder why, I wonder where they are. Days we had, songs we sang together, oh yeah. And oh my love, I'm holding on forever, reaching for the love that seems so far. So I say a little prayer, and hope my dreams will take me there, where the skies are blue, see you once. My love, overseas from coast to coast, to find a place I love the most, where the fields are green, see you once again.
To hold you in my arms, to promise you my love, to tell you from the heart, you're all I'm thinking of. Reaching for the love that seems so far. Yeah.
catch the smile and the rain is gone. Can hardly believe it, yeah. There's an angel standing next to me, reaching for my heart. Just a smile and there's no way back. Can hardly believe it.
Chances to show you how much I care.
Should have seen it coming. I should have read the signs. Anyway, I guess it's over.
Can't believe that I'm the fool again. I thought this love would never end. How was I to know? You never told me. Can't believe that I'm the fool again. And I thought you were my friend. Should have read the signs anyway.
So that I,
it's a keeping for the love.
So here we stand in our secret place, where the sound of the crowd is so far away. You take my hand and it feels like home. We both understand it's where we belong. So how do I say, do I say goodbye? We both have our dreams, we both wanna fly. So let's take tonight to carry us through the lonely times.
I'll always look back as I walk away. This memory will last for eternity, and all of our tears
will be lost in the rain. I find my way back to your arms again. But until that day, you know you are
the queen of my heart, the queen of my heart. So let's take tonight, never let go. While dancing we'll kiss like there's no tomorrow, as the stars sparkle down like a diamond ring. I'll treasure this moment to wake me up dead.
But no matter how far away you may be, I just know
And that was the beginning of the roller coaster. Elise is talking about the beginning of the roller coaster that she called her life. She is talking. And ladies and gentlemen.
Told you I was letting go, the only joy that I have ever known. Girl, they were lying, just look around, and all of the people that we used to know, just giving up, they wanna let it go, but we're still trying.
So you should know this love we shared was never made to die. I'm glad we're on this one-way street, just you and I, just you and I.
I'm never gonna say goodbye, 'cause I never wanna see you cry. I swore to you my love would remain, and I swear it all over again. And I'm never gonna treat you bad, 'cause I never wanna see you sad. I swore to share your joy and your pain. All over again.
Some people say that everything has got its place and time. Even the day must give way to the night. But I'm not crying, 'cause in your eyes I see a love that burns eternally. And you see how beautiful you are to me. We want to say goodbye, but even if we try, there are some things in this life that won't be denied. Won't be denied.
I'm never gonna say goodbye, 'cause I never wanna see you cry. I swore to you my love would remain, and I swear it all over again. And
start it all over again. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to continue with the Chronicles of Elise. We're going to go through her therapy and we're going to talk about it on Monday. Closing off, I love you so much. I bid you farewell. Ciao, ciao.
All over.